necessary health and strength so that we could come out this morning as we now do. My God, may the time that we spend here be worthwhile, be profitable to us spiritually, and be pleasing to you. May we, my God, so worship that you will be honored, be glorified, be pleased, and we will be helped and be directed and be enlightened. We give you thanks for your many blessings in our lives. We bring to you, my God, those who might have challenges in respect to health and other areas of their lives. Look down, my God, through Jesus Christ and be of help. As we now look to your word to examine a portion or a subject, we beg that you will be with us, be in our midst through Christ. We beg that you will guide our minds, our understanding, our receptiveness. And I beg, my God, that as I direct this study, that you will be with me through Jesus the Christ. I beg that through him you will grant me the understanding that I need so that I will represent you correctly in all that I'll say today. I beg through Jesus the Christ, my God, for your forgiveness. I beg through him for physical and spiritual strength. I beg for clarity of speech, my God, so that I will make this lesson plain and simple so that everyone wanting to will understand. Grant me a memory that will help me to recall the things that I have studied, and my God, the things that you want to bear on this lesson. I come and pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen. For those who might not have been here for the past 2 weeks, we are looking on the general subject of the, we are really looking on the church, on the church. We're looking on the house of God. And for those who were not here over the past 2 weeks when we began the lesson, we are aware after looking on the passage of Genesis 28 that was read this morning, we are looking, rather, making the connection. Because in Genesis 28, verse 22, really, I think verse 16, 22. Let me have those verses, please.
And Jacob awaked out of his dream.
Start again, more lively.
And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 16.
Yeah. 17.
And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place?
How dreadful, that is, how full of dread or fear or full of reverence is this place.
This is none other but the house of God.
That is, this place is none other but
the house of God.
The house of God.
And this is the gate of
heaven.
And
this, the house of God, is the gate of heaven. Now, I pointed out that this was a vision. The Almighty God was involved. It was not just that Jacob ate late and had a nightmare. The Almighty God was involved here in revealing things about God's future plan and activity in the church. God was revealing that to Jacob. It was not only a revelation, it was also a prophecy where the Almighty God through Jacob was foretelling something that was not yet a reality but would come. That the house of God is the gate of heaven. Meaning, if a man or woman wants to enter heaven, you will have to go through the gate. That is the house of God, which we made some connection last week, and I want to pick up there. We look at this passage of Genesis 28, really from verse 10 to verse 19. Then we follow that up when we look at the passage of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to about 2. Then we look at the passage of Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And then from there we went last week to the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Should we pick up there now? But before we pick up there, it is to be noticed, among other things, that this place that Jacob acknowledged and recognized to be the house of God, and there, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, going to tell us that the house of God is the church of the living God. Is it 2 or 350?
350.
Yes, let us make that before I speak on somebody not understanding. Let us hear it.
But if I tarry long.
Now, pick up at 14. These things.
These things write I unto thee.
Write I unto thee.
Hoping to come unto thee shortly.
I am planning to come to you.
Shortly.
Shortly.
But if I tarry long.
If I delay, if I didn't get to come, I'm writing this, sending this letter ahead to guide the church. And among the things that you will notice in the letter that you must share with the church is how men are to behave themselves in what?
That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God.
Say that again, brother.
Which is the church of the living God.
Include all of that business about house.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God.
You see, we do not need anything else to make the connection. You see, we study in Genesis 28, 16, 17, that the house of God is the gate of heaven. Now, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? If we can ever find the house of God, then we have found the gate of heaven. And then here we have found the house of God. Somebody didn't hear it, Brother Webb.
That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God.
In the house of God.
Which is the church of the living God.
Everybody get that? But God had already revealed to Jacob that the house of God is the gate of heaven. If you ever plan to go to heaven, there is no way you can go outside of the church which Christ has been. Because God, through Jacob, some 1800 years before Jesus Christ came and built the church, revealed that the church is the gate of heaven. Am I right? Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I need to say this too before we move on. We also learn from Genesis, from Genesis 28, verse 10 following. You learn one about the house of God, but that is where God revealed himself, at the house of God. Two, you learn that it is at the house of God that man meets God. That's right. You learn too that it is at the house of God that man worship God. So don't forget that this is revealed in this passage. You see, I'm tempted to go to a passage in chapter 31, but I'm going to resist that because we have things to cover. But from this very passage, We notice that God revealed himself in specific ways to Jacob. But it was at the house of God. From this very passage, we learn that it is there at the house of God that man meets God, or encounter God. We worship that. We learn too from this passage that it is at the house of God that man worship God. Oh Lord, I'm tempted to go to this passage, but you know, where the Almighty God said to Jacob, Jacob had gone to his mother's relative to give service. And I do not use that word service lightly. Because Jacob typically represents service. Watch here. His father Isaac represents sonship, the son that was miraculously born. So in Isaac, we see foreshadow brother of Jesus Christ. In Abraham, we see typically Abraham representing God, giving his only begotten son to please God, as God would give his only begotten son to redeem us. But now Jacob typically represents servant or service. So after Jacob had left his father's house and went and labored 14 years to get his wife, he returned to Bethel. And God again met him at Bethel. And God said, I am the God. And in case Jacob wondering which God, because in those days there were many, God says, I am the God of Bethel. It was Jacob who in the first place identified that place as Bethel. So God is giving sanction to him. I am the God of Bethel, meaning I am the God of the house of God. But we're going to come to that. So right now, we make the connection that the house of God is the gate of heaven, and that the house of God is the church that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we have made a connection here in the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 15. But may we also go to other passages. We would like now to go to the passage of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Let us hear that passage. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Let us hear that passage.
But Christ as a son over his own house.
Wait, brother, take time with me here. Wait. Remember what Jacob saw and identified as what, brother? The house of God. Huh? So here the Bible is further telling us more about the house. Now we are in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, still on the business of identifying what the house is. We have already been told that the house of God is the gate of heaven. You have planned to enter heaven, find the house of God. That's right. Wait, sorry. Make sure you find the right one. Because Satan has furnished us with some counterfeit. Lot of counterfeit. So what you read there, brother? That Jesus Christ, the brother, is at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Jesus Christ as a son
over his own house.
Wait. Take time, brother. You notice Christ as a son over his own house. Over his own houses.
House.
You sure it doesn't say houses?
House.
Because the house of God is the church of the living God. And today we have a lot of churches. But the last time I checked, house, as used there, brother, is singular. Am I right?
Amen.
Christ as a son, not over his own houses, our churches, but over his own house.
Amen.
Wait, this passage going to further let us know what the house of God, which is the house of Jesus Christ, is. Notice here, but Jesus Christ as a son over his
own house.
Wait, wait, brother, wait. You learn there, Brother McFarlane, that Jesus Christ is not the person over Christ's house. Rather, Carl Mitchell is not the person over Christ's house. I might be a leader, but I am not the head of the church.
Amen.
Are we all there? Read that little part again.
But Christ as a son over his own house.
Brother, you learn there too that it is not the Queen of England or the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Amen.
Brother Michele, how does that come in? I am told history records, and this is a fact right now, that the Archbishop of Canterbury is the spiritual head of the Church of England, the Anglican Church. And the Queen, rather the Queen or the King, whichever reign in England, is the physical head. That's a fact. But that's not over Christ's house. That's right. You see, as it is, legally and officially, the Archbishop of Canterbury is the spiritual head of the Church of England. But Jesus Christ is the spiritual head over his church. Then I learned too that the Pope is the head over the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, but not over Christ's true church. Read that again, my brother.
But Christ as a son over,
over his own house. Read on a little more now.
Whose house are we?
You all get it? The Bible doesn't leave man in darkness. Amen. You see, here so we further. What a lot we're learning about the house of God. We learn that it is the gate of heaven. You have to find where you are entering place of enclosure. Our exclusive place, you have to find the gate or the door. That's right. If you try to get in some other way, you are going to pay consequences. That's right. The church is not only that, but we are told that we are the house of God.
Amen.
In a little while, we are going to look on the concept in the word house. Yes, that Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we?
Amen.
That the brothers just read in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, brother, turn to the same passage of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. Let us hear it. Same Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31.
It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Look at verse 21, brother.
And having an high priest over the house of God.
Brother Mitchell, you have read in the New Testament, you have read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, about the church of God, which is the house of the living God. Then, Brother Mitchell, you read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, about Christ as a son over and holds his own house. Then you are reading now in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, that it is the house of God. Are there different houses? No, I see a house. If it belonged to God, it belonged to Christ. And it belonged to Christ, it belonged to God. So let us hear more of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 21. Start again.
And having an high priest over the house of God.
Let us draw near.
With a true heart.
Wait. don't get confused. The high priest there is not the priest in the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, priest is singularized here because the high priest here is referring to Jesus Christ. He is the priest over his own house, which is the house of God. Are we all there? So we don't have to be in doubt or confusion when Jacob says that the house of God is the gate of heaven. The Bible makes that plain what the house of God is. But we are going to go further. Let us note something here, and this is quite interesting. Let us turn to Genesis 28, 22 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Genesis 28, 22, 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5.
And this stone.
Wait. I want you to follow me here, ladies and gentlemen. And this one?
Stone.
This stone. Everybody get it? The brother is at Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. And this stone,
which I have set for a pillar,
which I have set for a
pillar,
P-I-L-L-A-R.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. That is that which you set to bear weight, pressure, responsibility. Yes, this stone, uh-huh,
shall be God's house.
Shall be God's house.
And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth.
Now, follow me, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Now, that is the vision that God gave to Jacob. It surrounds a what? A stone. Am I right? That's right. Make sure you get it. And that is what Jacob call and refer to not only the area, but the stone which he had used for a pillow is now a pillar. It's the house of God. Let us find our First Peter. Did I say chapter 2, verse 4 and 5?
To whom coming as unto a living stone.
That's right. Wait. So, brother, we come upon stone again. Jacob says this stone is the house of God. That was Old Testament. So here now in the book of First Peter, am I right? Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, we come again upon stone. Read.
To whom coming as unto a living stone.
That means a stone that is alive. Read.
Disallowed indeed of men.
Yes.
But chosen of God and precious.
What was it called, brother? Stone. We are dealing with stone. Jacob had even thrown some oil on the stone to anoint it, showing it was special. Vision. We come now in the New Testament and it's talk about stone. Whose coming is like unto a living stone. Read now.
But chosen of God and precious.
Precious.
Ye also.
Wait, brother, wait. It's not just any and any stone. It's precious. Read.
Ye also.
Wait, take time with me, dear brother. Take time with me. You need to take time with me. I'm very slow. Now, you also, you who, the Christian,
as lively stones.
You also, oh my God, I like that. You also, you are living stone. Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this is about the church, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. It's the church and it's coming down to it. You see, first Jacob was given the vision that the house of God or the stone represent the house of God. Then we come to the New Testament where we talk about Jesus Christ. His coming is like a stone, not the inanimate dead stone out there, but stone, a rock that has life in it. Then the Bible tells us that it's not only our Savior is metaphorically likened to a stone. Wait, I need to take a little time off here. Why stone, Brother Mitchell? Throughout the Bible, you know, the Bible talk about the rock of ages, eh? And the idea in stone or rock is that which is solid, that which you can depend on, that which is not shifty. That's the concept. So here we have the Bible. Here, some 1,800 years before Jesus Christ, Jacob got that vision about the stone being the house of God. Then we come to the New Testament and it identifies again Jesus Christ as the stone. But here the Bible tells us not only Jesus Christ, but the followers of Jesus Christ. We are also as what type of stone?
As lively stones.
Lively or living stone.
Are built up.
Wait now, that's what I like, brother. You think I like what came before? Yes, but there's this I like now. You built up what?
A spiritual house.
A what?
A spiritual house.
But, brother, wait. Didn't I read in Genesis where the stone was the house of God?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And here we come here, that we're being told that we, the Christians, we build up a what?
A spiritual house.
And that we are stone. We build up a house. What type of house? A spiritual house. That's the church.
Amen.
That is made up of Christians.
Yeah.
We build up a house. What you're thinking, finish? It's going to tell you what this house is all about.
And holy priesthood.
A holy priesthood.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Wait, brother. Let me run ahead of myself. Brother, wait. You know what I'm saying here? That you can never worship God, offer sacrifice to God, if you are not a part of the house.
That's right. Amen.
Wait, listen to the passage again. You also, as lively or living stone,
are built up.
You're built up
a spiritual
house. A
house
that is spiritual. It's not a physical house.
And holy priesthood.
Yes, you constitute a priesthood that is holy.
To offer up.
Wait, take time. And the whole purpose behind you being a spiritual house is to do what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
So, watch it. No man or woman can truly worship God acceptably if you are not one of the stone that comprises the house of God.
Yes, amen.
And if you don't believe me, go and make a thorough study of this passage of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 and 5.
1 Peter chapter 2.
Chapter 2, because the passage is telling us that you must be one of the stones that build up the church, which means you must be a part of the church before you can offer what?
Spiritual sacrifices.
That is worship.
Acceptable to God.
You cannot. In fact, I plan to deal with that further down. So let me save a little of that, ladies and gentlemen. So here again, we see the connection between the stone in Genesis and the stone in the New Testament. It's not only Jesus Christ that is the stone, But the Bible said, Peter said, you also, as lively stone, you build up a spiritual house. That's the church of Christ. Are we all there? Let me deal with this right here. The concept, the connotation in the word house is primarily a place where someone dwells. That's the concept. Anytime we hear about house, we think about living. That's where somebody lives or dwells. That's one of the primary concepts we hear the word house. A second concept is, you hear the word house, it gives you the idea of a family. And same way in the Bible. You see, why is it referred to as house? The concept of dwelling. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And of course, verse 16. Dwelling.
And what agreement?
What agreement?
At the temple of God.
At the temple of God?
With idols.
With idols. Read.
For ye are the temple of the living God.
You, the Christians. The word ye there means you, the Christians, are the temple of the living God.
As God has said.
As God has said.
I will dwell in them.
Wait. What idea did I say when we use the word house? Under normal situation every day. House. You think of somewhere where someone lives. Well, that's the same connotation it carries here in the Bible. But in this case, God's house is where God lives. Are we all there?
Amen.
And here the brother is reading it, and Paul is here quoting from the Old Testament. As God had said,
I will dwell in them.
I will dwell in them.
And walk in them.
I will walk in them.
And I will be their God.
And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know what it's talking about? God's house, God's dwelling place, God's temple. So when the Bible speaks of the church as the house of God, the idea there is where God dwells. Huh? God lives in the Christian. We must make sure that we keep our lives in a condition spiritually that God finds it attractive to live there. Huh? Huh? No. So, wait. But Brother Mitchell, you give us two concepts. One is the dwelling, and another one is family. Look at the passage of Ephesians. And that is chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. We're going to see both the dwelling aspect and the family aspect in this passage. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Let us hear it.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, our honored guests, our friends who are among us, if you are not a child of God, this passage is telling you that when you are not a Christian, you are a stranger. Read the passage again.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners.
Right away. You notice the word no more?
That's it, yeah.
Mean once you were.
That's right.
Once you were foreigner.
Yeah.
And you were stranger. When was that? When you are not a child of God. When you have not responded in obedience to the gospel to get baptized with a resolution to live right for Jesus Christ.
In God's sight, you are a stranger. You're a foreigner. That's God's word.
Yeah.
So Paul is saying to the Christian at Ephesus, you were strangers and foreigners once. That is, before you accept Jesus Christ, before you repent of your sin and get baptized. But now, after you have been baptized and put Jesus Christ on, you are no more so. Read, brother.
But fellow citizens.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You know. But you are fellow citizens.
With the saints.
With the saints.
And of the household of God.
You see again, household. That is giving you the family idea. You see, and of the household of God. That's the church of Christ. Read on a little further, brother.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles.
Here again, it brings in again the concept of a house built up. The foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Jesus Christ himself.
Jesus Christ himself.
Being the chief cornerstone.
You see, brother, when it comes right back to stone. You see, God tied stone metaphorically to the church some 1800 years before Christ. And when Jesus Christ came through his inspired writer, he likened himself to a stone, solidness, dependability, and shiftiness. And then he likened the Christian metaphorically to stone that built up a spiritual house to offer sacrifice. If you are not a part of that house, if you are not one of those stone, living stone, you cannot worship God acceptably. In fact, you can't even pray. What you mean, Mr. Mitchell? We pray to God always. Yes, but those prayers just go up in the air and stop there. That's right. You have to be one of the persons who comprise God's house. Because the passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, 3, 4, and 5 tell us that this house was built or comprised to offer up sacrifice of praise. You cannot offer sacrifice of praise outside of the body of Christ. I say I'll be dealing with that because there are some three or four other passages. But here we are. Here the passage is telling us. You reach verse 22 yet? Read.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto
a... Oh, God have mercy. There's so much in the passage. Here again is the concept of the Lord. You see, brother, when it's the same business of house, you know. In whom all the building fitly...
joined together.
Yes. In whom, brother Mitchell? In Jesus Christ. That's right. You see. When a church is found upon man, and there are many, when a church is found upon man's doctrine and philosophy, it is not the right church. You see, it must be found upon Jesus Christ, based on Jesus' teaching. And that's one of the reasons we are bringing these lessons, to let men and women understand the church better. That's right. You're at around verse 20.
We're at 21.
21. Read 21 again.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
Y'all hear that? We, you know, we are the stone, the living stone that built the building. Make sure that you are a living stone in God's building.
Yeah.
Christian, because this has implications. But in another few weeks, a lesson that have not so much dealing with the church, but dealing with our responsibility to evangelize, we're going to look more on how the individual Christian has great and grave responsibility in God's sight. Uh-huh.
In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
You see again, habitation, where somebody lives. Christ, the Almighty God, lives in his church. Hence, habitation. Do I have enough time to go a little deeper in that subject, that one cannot offer gifts, praises to God, sacrifices to God, give God acceptable worship outside of the church, or if you are not a part of the church which Christ has been? You cannot. Let me repeat. No man or woman can offer to God gifts, worship, praises, sacrifices to God if you are not a part of his house, his church. We have just looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Now, let us look at some other passages dealing with that, and that will be the last point in today's lesson. Just two or so more passages. May I? The point I'm dealing with here, brothers and sisters, is that the point I'm dealing with at this stage, as we wrap up the lesson, God wants you before he wants yours. Very important aspect of the lesson. I'm going to make a few statements on it. But let me, this is important. In the ignorance that exists in the religious world and even members of the church, there are people who think you serve God to become his sons or daughter. You have it wrong, incorrectly. You must first become his son and daughter before you can serve him. Tell how you love God. Bring everything you have and give him. If you don't first give him yourself, he doesn't want what is yours. Hence, you cannot give God worship if you do not first give yourself. You know, there are some passages I was going to share, but you see, I would have to share part of that this week and pick up next week where I'm going to relate it to Jacob. That Jacob had to first enter God's house at Bethel before he could go on to Paran. Paran. around and serve. He had to first get in or encounter God's house before he could go on and serve. And this is very enlightening, in fact, there in the Old Testament. And that's why we cannot go further than this this week. We are going to end on this point and pick up on it next week. You must first give yourself to God before you can give yours. And that's why so many worship is not acceptable to God. Because men think they can bribe God. I remember my father-in-law, wonderful person. Sister Mitchell's father, staunch Anglican. I miss him like I miss my own father. But I never forget where he was pointing out he had to send his offering. Even though he probably hadn't been to church for donkey years. But once you send your offering, it keeps you on the list. Brothers and sisters, God cannot be bribed. And we cannot overemphasize this enough. You must first give yourself to God. That's why when I say, if you're outside of Christ, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a part of His church, there's no way you can offer acceptable worship. And there are some passages that will be shared with you along this. Don't miss next week's lesson. Come and bring someone. But today you have heard enough that you can become one of the stone that is alive. Remember, stone is used sort of symbolically, metaphorically. You know, it is used in a representative way. You know, you must be one of the persons who give your life to Jesus Christ. You are likened to a stone that is alive, that build up Christ's house, which is the church. It is only then when you give your life to the Almighty God through Christ can you offer acceptable worship. Today you can take the step, meet Christ's condition, believing in Christ as God's Son, your Savior, accepting that you are a sinner as you are, and that Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with your sin problem. And that you will step forward to obey Christ in repentance, in confessing, not your sin, His name, and getting baptized to come from the water to walk in newness of life. You can do that today. And become a part, one of the stone in Christ's great building, the church. The house of God, the gate of heaven. As we stand now to sing a song that the brother will bring you, it is a chance for you to come and give your life to Jesus Christ and become a part of the house of God, which is the gate of heaven, which is the church of Christ, as we stand. 583 is the song of invitation.
With your poor, broken heart, burden and sin oppressed, let down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.
Jesus Christ, in fact, calls us to rest.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ calls us to a life that his ultimate goal for us is for us to so live in this turbulent life, this one, with all its challenges, that we so live with his help and strength and guidance, that in the life beyond the grave, all the problem and issues and tears and frustration and sickness and troubled mind that we experience here, we will be free from that. He genuinely called us to rest. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, cruelly, Jesus Christ died that cruel death to bring you and to bring me forgiveness and life. You must make an initiative to accept him. Because you know what? He has conditions that you and I must meet. Among those conditions is that you must believe. But you must not stop at belief. You must repent. You must not stop at repentance. You must confess Christ, not being ashamed of him. And you must be baptized to have your sins removed. Today you can step forward to become a part of the house of God. The Bible refers to us as lively stone. We build up a spiritual house. That's the church. And it's not talking about man-made denomination. That's one church, one true church. The church which Christ said he would build. You can come today and be a part of it. In mercy, in love, Jesus Christ says, come unto me. Come now as we sing.
Will you come, there is mercy for you, balm for your rage.